And we are live on Blog Talk Radio for Falcon Zone. Happy Thursday, everybody. I am Jeremy the Impact York. Thanks to Impact Media for allowing us to come on and talk every third Thursday currently about the Atlanta Falcons and, of course, the NFL. We're going to get into some stuff a little bit later on. We're going to talk about the Falcons rookies and some things they've been doing, a few promotions that the Falcons have started. I'm going to break down top position battles. These are the two of the big ones that I think we should really look at. And, of course, we're going to get into a bunch of NFL stuff. But first, we're going to get into some NFL stuff. We'll start right now. As the teaser on the write-up said, I'm going to lock Aaron Rodgers down a peg. You know, I've already said before, hey, I understand he's got good mechanics. He's a good quarterback. Do I think he's the best? No, I don't. Just my opinion. But to me, he doesn't win big games away from Lambeau. And he doesn't. I mean, his personality is just personality. He seemed like an okay guy. But everybody puts him on this pedestal like he's the next greatest thing. Maybe he is one of those. But I would put Big Ben against him. Talk about mechanics. What about Eli Manning? Arguably some of the best mechanics in the history of the NFL. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. The reason that I want to talk about him right now, the reason that I brought all this up, we know Tom Brady has put out a cookbook. I believe he's almost straight vegan or vegetarian now anyway. That's fine. You know, eat what you want to put in your body. I understand that. No problem. I don't disagree with anybody's diet. Honestly, it's your diet. Mine could be a lot better. Yours could probably be a lot better. Anybody. I mean, we could improve anyway like that. But Aaron Rodgers says that he has cut out dairy and especially cheese from his diet. Okay. I see some of the benefits there. Dairy can, you know, it has its advantages and disadvantages as far as different things that way. He's going to have to find other sources of stuff like, I think it's vitamin D, maybe some protein or some other recovery aspects that you can get from dairy foods, especially milk and cheese in general. You know, don't have a problem with Aaron Rodgers cutting it out. What Aaron Rodgers wants to do is up to Aaron Rodgers. The reason I brought it up was he plays for the Green Bay Packers, a team that is nicknamed the Cheeseheads, that play in Green Bay, Wisconsin, a.k.a. one of the biggest cheese capitals in the world. I'm not saying that it's wrong for him to come out and say something about his diet. What I'm saying is Aaron, you should think about things like announcing that you don't eat cheese in the cheese capital of the world. That would be like hanging out with the Robertson family from Duck Dynasty and telling them you don't hunt. That is about 75-80% of what they do for a living. They make duck calls and they make deer calls and they make all kinds of things to help you with hunting. You wouldn't go up to the Robertsons and say, hey, I don't believe in shooting animals. They'd probably say, that's great that you have an opinion, but we don't agree with it. In this case, your diet's your diet, Aaron, but to come out in the cheese capital of the world and to say, you've cut dairy out of your diet. Come on, you gotta think about this. You gotta think about this. It'd be like Tom Brady saying that he hated the Red Sox. Whether he does or he doesn't, by the way, he doesn't. He loves the Red Sox, actually. You don't say those kinds of things in Boston. You don't say these kinds of things in Green Bay. You should. I mean, God, just. And here's another thing. You may knock him down another peg. If Aaron Rodgers is so great, how come with a receiving core like he has, he only has one ring? Sure, blame the defense, but the defense has Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers. Haha, Clinton Dix. Yeah, can't say it's necessarily the defense. you might could have a small argument about the offensive line, but the offensive line has actually been one of the most solid, cohesive units in the last 5 or 6 years. First 6 seasons, years, same thing. If Aaron Rodgers was so good, with or without Jordy Nelson, still has Randall Cobb, James Jones, it doesn't matter who he seems to have. He has Eddie Lacy as a running back. If I put, all right, let's think about it this way. Big Ben is the one I like to bring up. If I put Big Ben on the Packers, he has at least, I'd say he has at least 2 rings at this point, maybe more. If I put Aaron Rodgers on the same Pittsburgh team right now, I think he may still have one. And they even have a worse defense than Green Bay. So nothing personal, Aaron. Love to meet you. Love to have you on the show. I'm not bashing you just to bash you. You know, I'd love to hear your take on some of this stuff. And Green Bay fans, if you want to text in, call in, 347-826-7448. Go for it. But I'm not seeing that Aaron Rodgers is the next Peyton Manning, the next Drew Brees, the next. I mean, in all honesty, once we weigh this out, there's a good chance Derek Carr has a better career than Aaron Rodgers. Now, that could be a little bit of a stretch, you know, but I think this Raiders team could be coming, and they're going to be coming hard, coming straight at people, man. It's going to be terrible for a lot of people in that division. Denver better look out. The Chiefs. Who else over there? The Chargers? Does that sound right? Moving on. The NFL Twitter account was hacked. Because, of course it was. And the person that hacked it said Roger Goodell had passed away. A lot of people back and forth as to if they were, oh, that's terrible to hear, or, good for them. Afterwards, Roger Goodell joked about it, and he said on his Twitter account, you spend one day playing golf, and your office already kills you off, or something like that. It's funny that Goodell actually had a little bit of a reply, because he doesn't have writers. He's not a politician, even though a lot of people think he might be. I think you need to know about this because if the NFL can get hacked, anybody can be hacked. Make sure to have your password protected. Or if you're not sure about it, cancel your account. By all means, have a Twitter, though, if you're following us, at the Impact 99, at Team Impact Media. We'd love to hear from you there as well. While we're at it, 3endzone@gmail.com, we'll get you straight to our email account, and we'll read your emails. But to have their Twitter account hacked, I mean, what could the password possibly have been? Clearly, it was something pretty easy that somebody sat around and figured out. But Goodell's always got jokes. Yeah, I think he's got jokes for days. So good for you, Roger Goodell, for taking a negative and turning it somewhat positive. Johnny Manziel says he wants to play in 2016. So does Tim Tebow. What's your point? I hate to keep bringing up Tebow and Manziel. They are completely opposite people. I wouldn't trust Manziel to throw himself a party. Whereas I trust Tim Tebow to probably do about anything. But Johnny Manziel says he wants to play in 2016. Now, his attorney corrected the statement, or not really corrected, but added to the statement, we would love for Mr. Manziel to play in 2016, but 2017 is probably more feasible. Probably so. And if he's talking about playing the NFL, he should really start getting his act together, because the only way he's going to play in any NFL action in the next 2 years, if he keeps on the path that he's on, is going to be on the new Madden football game, which will have different announcers. Nelson Agholor, the wide receiver, young wide receiver for the Eagles, was accused of sexually assaulting a dancer at the ballet. Y'all know what I'm talking about when I say that. Yes, a stripper. Did he sexually assault him? I don't know. They're investigating that. But it just goes back to young players, old players, players in between. Even if you don't play, but especially if you're a professional athlete, listen. We understand you like to go to the ballet. We understand. That's fine. But anytime you go in public, you paint a target on yourself where other people, maybe she had something to do with this. Maybe it was a setup. I don't know. I don't know the whole situation. My guess, though, is he got a little too close. She said, back off. He said, do you know who I am? And he was probably followed by security picking him up and taking him from the property. If you're Nelson Aguilar or if you're the Eagles, you got to know better than to be in this spot. If you're the Eagles, you got to get in this guy's head. That's what the rookie symposium is supposed to be about. Make better choices. Don't get in these crazy scenarios. But instead, what happens? He's currently being investigated for sexual assault of a stripper. Just to stay with the current times, SMH. Literally, SMH. Baltimore wide receiver Breshad Perriman, who missed last year, I believe he tore his ACL or MCL. He tore part of his knee, I believe, missed the entire season. Initially, it was said he partially tore his ACL, which would make it 2 years in a row that he would miss complete all the games because of a knee injury suffered before he's even played a down. But then an expert looked at it, said it's not as bad as it looks. I believe it was Dr. James Andrews, honestly, probably one of the most awesome surgeons in the world and one of the more well-renowned people out of Alabama. Said actually just a little bit of rehab and a few things here and there, and he should be good to go, actually, which is exceptional news given that Baltimore has been having wide receiver issues for a couple of years. That's why they drafted Perriman, who, like I said, didn't play. Steve Smith, who I'll get to. Steve Smith says he's unsure of when he will return from his Achilles. He still plans to return, and he's trying to get back as soon as possible. But let's think about this. No Steve Smith. So wide receiver one, gone. Breshad Perriman, wide receiver two currently, has a knee injury that he's going to have to rehab. So technically he's out. So a lot of young guys have got to start stepping up, including the guy that I covered last year with Georgia State, who was up there, Donovan Harden, and we wish him the best of luck up there. That's actually a good spot. I believe he should be able, you know, to put up a good showing. Wish the best of luck, Donovan. But if you're Baltimore, you may need to start looking around for some wide receiver help. I'll get into a particular guy maybe you need to think about a little bit later on, even though there may be one little caveat that could keep him from signing there. Next up, a neck injury could force Ben Grubbs to retire. Ben Grubbs is actually a pretty good player, played for a handful of years. But just like David Robinson's kid, in the last couple of days, has decided he was a great tight end for Notre Dame, has decided because of the concussion scare and that sort of thing, he's decided not to play football anymore. Well, Ben Grubbs is looking at the same thing, except for the neck injury is actually forcing him to think about that. Hopefully, Ben's healthy enough to make whichever decisions best benefit him. If he wants to continue to play and his injury is okay, then Ben, we wish you the best of luck there. If your neck injury is going to force you out, then we wish you the best of luck on your future endeavors. Ben Grubbs is a good dude, so, you know, wishing the best of luck with that. Kirk Cousins of the Washington Redskins, of Daniel Snyder's Washington Redskins, formerly of Michigan State, says he has yet to plateau. I would agree with that. He just did last year really get the chance to take over and be the starter and to really have the reins of the offense, and he made the most of it, and hopefully he should be getting paid sometime soon about that. I think Kirk Cousins, not only am I a fan of the guy anyway, I've been a fan of his since college. not only do I agree that he's yet to plateau, he's just starting, really. He's just scratching the surface. You know, to bring up an example, think of Aaron Rodgers, who sat 3 years behind Brett Favre. Now, clearly, Cousins didn't sit behind anybody anywhere near Brett Favre's skill level, but in sitting for a couple years, it allowed him to mature, to work on some things, and to give himself a better chance to succeed in this league, as he watched the guy in front of him struggle with a couple things that, I mean, sometimes in your control, sometimes out. But for Cousins to come out and say this, he's putting the rest of the league on notice. He thinks the Redskins are good enough to compete. That's what he's trying to say with this. A few other quick notes we're going to get into before we talk about the big elephant in the room with the NFL right now. Like I said, if you want to be a part of the show, 347-826-7448. You can catch us on Twitter. At the Impact 99, at Team Impact Online, 3endzone at gmail.com. You can catch us on Facebook. You can catch us Google+. We're all over the place. We're getting a few more. No, actually, we'll take a break. We'll come back from the break. We will talk a few more news and notes. We will talk some Von Miller, who is the elephant in the room currently. And then we'll get into Falcons right here on the Falcon Zone on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Jeremy, the Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business.
And we're back here on Falcon Zone on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Jeremy the Impact York. Thanks for coming back. Former Chicago Bears defensive lineman Brian Robinson, pretty good player in the league, actually, passed away at the age of 41. We don't know yet if it was anything he sustained on the field, but, you know, thoughts, prayers, and condolences to Brian's family, of course, to the Chicago Bears community. Anytime anybody passes away, it's a terrible loss because that person always meant something to somebody. And like I said, I haven't heard that it had anything to do with anything on field, but like I said, anytime you lose somebody in the football community, I definitely wanted to recognize that Brian Robinson was a good NFL player and a overall good guy according to his teammates. So thoughts and prayers and condolences to the Robinson family. Former New York Nick, Nate Robinson. Yeah, little Nate Robinson. It's not a shot. He calls himself little. Tried out for the Seattle Seahawks. I believe they have him at defensive back. They have not signed him yet, but Pete Carroll said he likes what he sees out of him. Nate Robinson's a fast, overall great athlete, so maybe he can catch on in the league. It would be one of the first crossovers in a long time, and I think Nate Robinson could actually add something to football. So good luck to Nate on that. Now, before we get into Von Miller, we got to get into the part that makes this even juicier. The Eagles have signed Fletcher Cox. Yep, defensive tackle Fletcher Cox. To a 6-year, $103 million deal. Great for Fletcher Cox. Pretty good deal for the Eagles. They're not dumb. They want to make sure they lock up their good players and don't let them go anywhere. And this also puts pressure on the Denver Broncos, who are trying to sign Von Miller right now. He is currently franchise tagged. Now, let's start right here. The Broncos and Von Miller and his people sat down to talk. The Broncos released the other day that they offer 6 years, $114.5 million, with, I believe, like 40 of it guaranteed. Von Miller replied, no. Von Miller wants to be the highest paid defensive player in the league. he's not talking J.J. Watt money. He's talking Ndamukong Suh money. Is he the best defensive player in the league? He's probably top three, four, five. I'd be hard not to think otherwise. Is he worth that kind of money? I don't know. John Elway is a pretty good businessman. I see him trying to strike a pretty good deal that may benefit both sides, but I just don't see Von Miller being the highest paid defensive player in the league. If it is, it'll be just by a fraction or something. The recent thing in that, of course, is that Von Miller went on, I think, Chelsea Handler's show or something, and said, "I love my teammates. I can't wait to play this year. We have an amazing team." And then a day later, which I believe was yesterday, went on his Instagram account and said, "No way am I going to play under the franchise tag in 2016. Yeah, danger Will Robinson. Danger Will Robinson, with Will Robinson also, or obviously being Mr. John Elway. Elway, I don't know what you're going to do in this spot here. Von Miller has a lot of the momentum. If he's not going to play under the franchise tag, then you're going to have to make a deal with him, and you're probably going to have to pay him. So you got to find that magic number that makes him happy, that doesn't break the bank, because you just paid one of your other players, and that's just going to make this worse. But speaking of the Broncos, we heard reports last weekend that Aqib Talib was shot in a strip club. Wasn't a nightclub. He was in a strip club in Dallas, Texas. It was a through and through his leg. I believe it hit his thigh into his calf or something like that. No damage, no permanent damage, nothing like that. He should have a full recovery. But that's not the strange part. The strange part became when he supposedly told friends or family that he thinks he may have shot himself. He doesn't know because he was under the influence of enough alcohol that he wasn't quite sure what happened. And I'm paraphrasing that from what he said. He had had enough alcohol that night to where it impaired his judgment. He's not sure if he shot himself. This sounds like another Plaxico Burress situation, except for Plaxico, I don't believe, was drinking that night. It just brings up the most important thing to me. Pro athlete or not, but especially a pro athlete. Aqib, why are you in a place, why are you in a club or any place in public where you feel the need to carry a firearm, a loaded firearm, clearly? If you think it's that dangerous or the potential for something that dumb could happen, how about you find a different place? Dallas has plenty of clubs and nightclubs and ballets and restaurants that you could have went to and had the same time, probably had as many drinks, possibly even cheaper. Who knows? I don't know the prices nor the name of this place. But I know other athletes in Dallas. There are plenty of other places you could go instead of going here. If you felt that you needed to be packing a sidearm, a firearm. This is not a movie. I don't know what you're thinking. That's the key thing here. And he could face charges similar to Plaxico Burress did. Now, Burress received charges, I believe, because he took the firearm from the state of New York to New Jersey across state lines and then discharged it in public. That's a completely different thing. I don't know if Talib has a permit for this particular gun or to be carrying the way he did. But once again, Aqib Talib makes a suspect decision. And it's another reason why I'm not sure that Denver, they may make the playoffs, barely. But I don't think they're going past the first round if they do. They've lost too many people on defense. They have a completely new quarterback tandem where there is a 3-quarterback shootout currently. There's a lot of question marks all over that team, and just I'm not convinced yet. If you're a Broncos fan, you want to convince me, call in 347-826-7448. I'm just not seeing it. When we get back from the break, we're going to talk some Falcons. And I'm going to tell you who I think some of the most irreplaceable Falcons are and why this team needs these guys to perform in order to make it. I'm Jeremy the Impact York. See you on the other side of the break for more Falcons Zone.
Jeremy the Impact York from End Zone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with End Zone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business.
And we're back here on Falcon Zone, Jeremy the Impact York from Impact Media. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio. Once again, thanks for joining us. We'll talk a little Falcons. A few little news and notes here, and then I'm going to tell you about the most irreplaceable Falcons and why this team needs them to perform. Some of them are obvious, some of them aren't. But for now, I want to tell you, the Atlanta Falcons, in order to promote the new low concession prices starting, I believe, next year, sent out $2 bills to fans. I think it's a pretty good gesture. I like what they're trying to do with this. They're trying to promote, you come back and spend that, you keep that. But, you know, the Falcons heard the complaints about the high food prices and did something about it. So, you know, appreciate them doing that. Part of the reason that today's show is called Changing the Plan is because Dan Quinn is changing the culture and the plan in Atlanta. Ever since he got here, he's been doing things a different way. A lot of people like it, some people don't, but it's slowly getting results. We'll see for sure this year what it does. Overall, one thing he did was he had the rookies experience a Navy SEALs workout. That's a good way to change the culture. Hashtag quitting, of course. But this is to teach the rookies a different way to work out. It's to you know, shock their body into being in better shape, and it teaches them solidarity. Navy SEALs always look out for each other. So I applaud the efforts of Dan Quinn in doing this, and I look forward to what they're going to do this year. I feel like even with a hard schedule that if they can get up to 7, 8, 9 wins, everything's going to look good. Moving into that new monstrosity, but I'm sure it'll be pretty ballpark by the time we get there. Now, top position battles. A couple position battles I wanted to talk about just briefly. And, of course, the first one I want to talk about is defensive end. They made no motion to really sign a pass rusher. Imagine that. Pass rush in Atlanta is about as rare as a $2 bill. But their options as far as defensive end and pass rush is Adrian Claiborne, of course, Beasley, and Derek Shelby. I think these guys are more than capable of creating a rush. They're going to have to do a little better than they have in the last couple years. Now, as far as who's going to be the starter, I would imagine Beasley will be on one side and Adrian Claiborne will be on the other, but Claiborne's also played in the middle a little bit, so maybe they stick him back in the middle. They put Derek Shelby on the side. There's a lot of other guys on the defensive line they could actually use. But if I had to absolutely say who's going to be the top performer of these, I think it's pretty easy. I think Big Beasley's going to be the top of these three. And I think he gives Atlanta the best shot at a pass rush generated from the defensive line. The other position battle is the offensive line. Now, we're not talking about at center where Alex Mack is, and we're not talking about some of the other places there. We're talking about the battle between Tom Compton, Ben Garland, and Michael Huey for backup positions, guard and tackle. And also Mike Person and Chris Chester battling for one of those, I believe, right side spots. I think Chris Chester is the incumbent. Mike Pearson's going to have to knock him off because he was the center last year, moving back to a more natural position at guard. He can compete with Chester. And Compton, Garland, and Huey, I think Garland actually has the one up on the other two as far as a backup role. But we don't know yet. Just like I was saying on Panther Zone yesterday, until we see these guys practice, until we get eyes on the tape, on eyes on how they're performing, your guess is as good as mine. I'm just going to say I like Ben Garland to take the main backup spot. I like Chris Chester to keep his right guard position, and I like Vic Beasley to be the top pass rusher slash defensive end. Of course, Falcons finished up minicamp where the ATL Falcoholics, good friends, obviously, you know, Mr. Chris Holdip, and crew were out there battling the sun. Nobody got sick or anything, which is good. Mark Cooper, obviously. Those guys from the ATL Falcoholics, good friends of the show, were out there. The early feedback, they said a lot of things look good. They're working on some new things, it seemed like, and the players seem to be excited as much as the fans were. So we appreciate them weighing in there. And actually, we have some other guys from Primetime Sports over there as well. Maybe we'll have them on the next couple weeks to talk about what they saw. Kyle Shanahan, the offensive coordinator and arguably one of the most unpopular people in the city of Atlanta, says he doesn't want to force deep passes into coverage this year. His scheme is going to try to shy away from that. I disagree. Because if you say you're not going to force deep passes into coverage, you might as well say we're not throwing deep passes. And if you don't throw deep passes, you're not beating anyone in the NFL. At some point, you're going to have to throw a few down the field. At some point, you're going to have to. So, Kyle, unless you want to further explain or show us what you mean, I'm just going to have to say this is another reason why he should not be a part of this team. And I think Reggie and Coach would absolutely agree. Now, last Falcons news I got before I talk about irreplaceable players is Roddy White says he is going to retire if he doesn't get any offers from contending teams. Now, I don't think he should officially retire until after the season because you never know who could get hurt between now and the end of the season, especially get somebody on like the Patriots. Maybe the Falcons need an extra guy. I hope not. I hope they make it that far, but nobody gets hurt. But at the same time, you just never know. Maybe the Broncos need somebody for that last push. The Chiefs. Somebody brought up Dallas. Pair him up, Dez Bryant on one side, Roddy White running the slot. That would give them an extra option there, and that could be something. So, Jerry, Steven, if you're listening, why not give old Roddy a call? See what he thinks. He may turn it down thinking he doesn't think you're a contender or something. I don't know. You'd have to talk to him. But seeing Roddy White, you know, in the blue and white, the blue and silver, if he can't be a Falcon, why not be a Cowboy, right? Why not? But now, I told you guys I want to talk about the most irreplaceable players for the Falcons. I'm going to break this up into three different sections. Obviously, I don't know which sections those are. But as far as the offense, I think we can start with Matt Ryan. If you don't have Matt Ryan, who are you going to get? Who out there that would just scream, I'm better than Matt Ryan? A lot of people probably scream it, but none of them will be true. There's nobody out there that's as good as Matt Ryan. There's nobody that's going to be available in a trade, and Matt Ryan's your guy. Keep Matt Ryan. He's irreplaceable. Julio Jones, same way. I could argue and say that you could get a really good receiver, able to pick up one. But to do all the things that Julio does on the field, no, you can't teach stuff. So he's irreplaceable. Devontae Freeman, a downhill runner with fast feet who can make cuts. Irreplaceable. Alex Mack, the new center. Why is he irreplaceable? Go watch tape from last year about how many miscues there were between the center and Matt Ryan. That's how important and irreplaceable Alex Mack is. He's a top three center in the league. In fact, go back and watch the last couple years. Alex Mack is the center of the Cleveland Browns. How many sacks on their quarterback came through the middle? Give you a hint. It's really, really low number. And then I'd also put out Jacob Tammy there. Tammy proved last year that he's an exceptional tight end who can block, who can do really great things. So Ryan Jones, Freeman, Mack, and Tammy. As far as the defense, I think we got to go back to Vic Beasley. Now, we don't quite know what he's capable of, just for the simple fact that he's only played, you know, most of a year. But I don't think you can replace what he does. You can look at Trufant. Once again, as good as Alfred is, he's not Trufant. What he does in the back just puts him in a great place. I think Grady Jarrett is approaching being irreplaceable. He might be replaceable right now. He's getting very close to being there. Somebody I forgot on offense. Patrick DeMarco. One of the best fullbacks in a league that doesn't have many fullbacks, and that's because most of them were not that good. Other people on defense. Other people on defense, I would say Philip Wheeler, the product out of Georgia Tech, proved that he deserves a spot, if not in the starting grid, right outside of it. The tackle monster, Paul Werlow. I think Reed has to be up there. Then we get into special teams. Matt Bosher and Matt Bryant. If Matt Bryant's going to be the kicker, then absolutely. Matt Bosher is one of the best punters in the league. He makes sure that the other team doesn't have good field position. Very rarely miscues. And, I mean, you know, as far as offensive line, you could say Jake Matthews. I could actually make a case that you could probably find a Jake Matthews if you looked. Maybe not quite, but either way. With irreplaceable players, if you do lose them, you have to do your best to just try to make it until you can get somewhere safe. It's like falling off a boat out of the middle of the ocean. You just got to tread water to get somewhere safe. Like I said, I think the Falcons are going to rebound. I think they're looking at 7, 8, 9 wins, somewhere in there. I believe I gave them 8 last week. Coach gave them 7 or last show. We'll get Reggie's take on it here shortly. Here soon. Shout out to Coach Hill and Mr. Reggie Walker, the King ATLian. They've been doing some killer work for us. Look forward to getting them back on the show here pretty soon. And, of course, we'll have some fun. We always have fun. But that's going to do it for us here on Falcon Zone, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks to Impact Media for allowing us to come on and talk Falcons every 3 weeks currently. Coming up on Impact Media next week, Revolution Zone with two special guests that we're finalizing right now. But Revolution Zone, obviously, about the Texas Revolution. We're going to recap their playoff game that they'll have this weekend, Saturday, on Eversport.tv. It's the second round of the playoffs. If they win this, they go to the championship. But that's Tuesday at around 7. Tuesday at 7 for Revolution Zone. Wednesday at 7, GSU Panther Zone. We'll talk about some more football and baseball stuff for Georgia State. And more than likely, we'll be joined by a special guest. We'll release more as we know there. And then this time next week, actually a little later, at 7 o'clock next Thursday for Jaguar Zone, we're going to be joined by a special guest, Cody Elias from 95.7 The Game in the Bay Area. We're going to talk some Bay Area. He's actually a big Pittsburgh fan as well. And the main reason I like having him on, besides him being great to talk to, is the Jags and Falcons are going to have some West Coast trips, so we're going to get into some stuff about that. But like I said, that's going to do it. So, appreciate you guys joining us. For Falcon Zone, I'm Jeremy Pettort. We will see you guys next week. Go Falcons!
Clear without the bam. Yeah, okay. Bam! What?